Thank you for that, Brittany. As Brittany mentioned to the children, today's story is a familiar one. It is the story of who we love to call Doubting Thomas. We can find this story in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Hear these words. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fears of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I can see his nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Seeing is believing, and believing is knowing, and knowing beats unknowing and the unknown. It's not every Sunday that a pastor begins his sermon with a quote from a well-known atheist like Philip Roth, but I think this quote seems to fit how Thomas viewed the resurrection. After all, Thomas wasn't there with the other disciples, so why should he believe what they are saying? The last thing Thomas remembers is that Jesus died on the cross a short 3 days ago. There's no way that he appeared to them. Heartbroken and lost, he tells his friends and his brothers, "You are wrong. You're seeing things. He is dead and gone, and there's nothing short of a miracle for me to believe you. I would have to see the nail marks and put my hand in his side for me to believe." Sure, Thomas was with Jesus when he did some pretty remarkable stuff. Earlier in John's Gospel, we see that Thomas is with Jesus when Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead. In fact, it is Thomas who tells the other disciples to go with Jesus. That way they can see what all this talk between death and sleep is all about. And who could forget the famous line from Jesus in John 14, 6? Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." What was Jesus answering to in this passage? He's answering Thomas. When Thomas asked, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" So Thomas has seen and experienced Jesus do unbelievable things. But this is something else entirely. Jesus is dead. He is in the tomb, covered and gone. So is it any wonder that Thomas doesn't believe the other disciples? Here's the part of the sermon that a lot of pastors begin to question why Thomas doesn't believe after all that he has seen. As I just pointed out, Thomas was with Jesus through it all, so why should he have any doubt? What is there to doubt after everything you have seen and heard from this man called Jesus? It's easy to vilify Thomas and make him the bad guy. When we look at the gospel story and what happened that first Easter morning, it's clear who believed and the one person who just couldn't. But John may be telling us something else about Thomas that I want to talk about today. I would like to take this opportunity to point to us that John may be saying something else. My rebuttal to those who point at Thomas and state plainly, don't be like that disciple. Don't doubt, just believe, is simply this. What did Jesus say about it? John tells us plainly in this story that the other disciples were meeting behind locked doors in fear of the Jewish leaders. Is it fair to say that they had no doubt in their faith? If you have the faith that Jesus tells us to have and told them to have, why would you be in fear of the Jewish leaders and feel the need to hide? In other words, if Peter or James or Matthew would not have been there for this original encounter, would they have believed what the other disciples told them? Of course, there's no way to know because Thomas was the one that wasn't there. But the story that John lays out for us in this gospel seems to point to a group of men who were not expressing the same type of faith and excitement that they had after they saw the risen Christ and saw his scars. They had the opportunity to see what Thomas wanted to see. As John points out, after Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The second thing I want us to consider for a moment is this interaction between Thomas and Jesus. To set the scene, it had been a week since the other disciples had seen Jesus and a week since his resurrection. They, again, were in locked rooms, presumably still afraid of the Jewish leaders. This time, however, Thomas is with them when Jesus comes back into the room. He addresses them all with, "Peace be with you," and then goes directly to Thomas. "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus does not rebuke Thomas for not believing his fellow disciples. Jesus does not use this as a gotcha moment against Thomas. In fact, Jesus does the exact opposite. Jesus appears to Thomas to give him what he so desperately wanted and needed. Jesus reached out to Thomas and invited him to touch his wound and his scars. John actually doesn't tell us whether Thomas actually puts his hand in the side of Jesus. But what John does tell us about Thomas is this amazing declaration of his faith and the kingship of Christ, my Lord and my God. In his commentary on the Gospel of John, David Brown writes about this encounter, that Thomas did not do what Jesus invited him to do, and what he had made the condition of his believing seems plain from John 20:29. He is overpowered, and the glory of Christ now breaks upon him in a flood. His exclamation surpasses all that had been yet uttered, nor can it be surpassed by anything that ever will be uttered in earth or heaven. Thomas demanded that he would not believe unless he put his finger in the side of Jesus. And to this, Jesus gave him what he needed to believe, just appearing. After Jesus gave him what he needed, he uttered the words of confirmation, not only for Thomas, but also for us. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The last thing I want to look at briefly as to why I think the faith of Thomas is more than that of someone who is doubtful, you know, doubting Thomas, is what Thomas did after this encounter and why this story is even in the gospel in the first place. What happened to Thomas after this story is wrapped up and after the gospel writers have finished, according to church tradition, historians believe that Thomas traveled to India to share his faith and to do missionary work. It was during this time that Thomas, the apostle who doubted, began the Christian church in India and was ultimately martyred and killed for his faith. But if Thomas is not to be vilified, why is this story here in the first place? Why even give the chance to make Thomas doubting Thomas? I think John answers this too in the last paragraph of this scripture lesson. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. The story of Thomas is included in the Gospel of John because it shows us one very important detail about faith. It is okay to have doubts. For my short time working in the ministry, I've had the privilege and the honor of working in youth ministry, working specifically with, you know, those in middle school and high school. Before this, when I worked in the military, I had the opportunity to minister to those who I served along with. Something that I have found to be similar between these two groups is the want to learn about their faith, but also not knowing if it's okay to not go all the way. In other words, they want to know why they still have these lingering questions about their faith that no one seems to be able to answer. A common question I have been asked by both youth and Marines is, how are you so sure in your faith? What about Christianity? What about your God makes you so sure? After describing why I believe what I believe, it normally comes out that they have had their doubts, but have never known it was okay to express it, or if it's okay to even have doubts. When given the space to work out their faith with me and to hear that their doubts are not the opposite of faith, but simply a step in the journey, these conversations have been a beautiful time of fellowship and learning. So for those of you who know that doubt is okay, what's in this story for you? What can First Presbyterian take away from the story of doubting Thomas? There's a running joke in our office, actually, between Dr. Garrett and I, that he has to stay at First Pres forever until I retire so that I can ride his coattails. And this point is no different. Last week during our Easter celebration, Dr. Garrett spoke on the idea of Mark's gospel handing the pen over to us in the ending so that we may finish the gospel. The invitation into ministry in the story of the resurrection is for us just like it was for the disciples. When Thomas wanted to see the resurrected Jesus and put his hands into his scars, this same Jesus that gave Thomas what he so wished for is the one that we serve today. And like Dr. Garrett pointed out last week during our Easter celebration, he is still calling us to come to him today. But if he's still calling us, how can we see the scars and the wounds and the holes that were in Jesus? By living the words that Jesus gave to his disciples on that day and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We are a people called to live in a way that serve others. In Matthew's gospel, we read the words of Jesus, another familiar story. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Do you want to see Jesus and put your finger in the holes and see his wounds and scars? This is how we do it. This is how we see and serve Jesus today. While I appreciate the passion of Mr. Roth's comment and how it can be used to explain our world, I have to admit that I find it incomplete. I much prefer the quote by scholar and author C.S. Lewis when he writes, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." As we leave this place today, let us not get tangled up in the doubt that Thomas had, but rather look at the faith that Thomas had. As we leave here today, let us go and seek Jesus, wanting to see the holes and the scars, and remembering that he has called all of us into serving, just as he served. Let us pray. Gracious God, you've given us your words so that we may live what you taught. Lord, guide us as we leave this place today, throughout our week, throughout our month, throughout our year, and throughout our lives, so that we may serve as you served. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.